Hi guys, it's me, Julia. Today, we are learning how to flirt, how to meet people, and how to have our best single summer yet. I had flirting and dating coach Benjamin Camras on, and you're gonna love his advice. Here's Benjamin. I am very excited to chat with today's guest. We've been connected on Instagram for a while now. He is a flirting and dating coach here to help us learn how to flirt properly. Benjamin Camras, welcome to Pretty Much Done.
Hello, how are you?
I am doing so well. I feel like I was a little tired this morning, but we started chatting. I'm like, oh, you gave me like a little pep in my step.
Same. It's like, it's cold. It's cloudy here today. Like the rain is washing away the pollen, but now I'm feeling like so energized, ready to go.
Good. I'm so glad. I really want to help people after this interview because I feel like I am very much in my single summer era. Yes, era. I want to talk about all of that with you. But before we talk about that, I always like to ask people, you've kind of described yourself on social media as a lifelong introvert and socially anxious person. How does a lifelong introvert and socially anxious person become a dating coach on the internet?
Very much by accident. embracing my own yes era for a little while now. But yeah, I've always been more the introverted type. I think I really identify now as that extroverted introvert type, right? And just sort of rethinking what introverted or introversion, right? That means for each of us. And definitely have also been socially anxious throughout my life. Not that the two always go together, but for me, they definitely have. And just struggled so much with making connections and with my own mental health in the process. And just how can I allow myself to be seen? How do I feel like I can get close to people? How can I develop those connections and those relationships with friends, romantically, of course, as well, when you're out there dating? And just with all my experience and what I've learned, I bring it all into my coaching. And I'm just so passionate about helping people make connections. And I always talk about the flirt as being the connection you have with yourself first and foremost. And that's what allows you to then open up and make those connections with other people as well.
Were you someone who was on the dating apps and kind of learned that you were socially anxious in these situations and dating and you wanted to help people through that? Were you someone who dated on the dating apps?
Oh yeah, still on them. Still on them. In my single era as well for the foreseeable future. So I was in a long-term relationship for 7 years when online dating and the dating app started to really become a thing. And then I found myself single. It was late 2017. And thinking like, wow, okay, I'm going to download a dating app for the first time. And so I picked one and it was Tinder. And I remember like being so reluctant and scared to even swipe. Like, what if I get a match, right? What happens then? And then getting that first match and just being like, oh my gosh, how does this work? What do I do? Like, what happens? Yeah, it definitely came up when I was initially starting to date again on online and on the apps, just the anxiety of it.
I don't know if it was like this for you, but I am someone who struggled with my self-confidence growing up. I was overweight. I felt like I had so many wonderful qualities that I could present via like writing to someone on AOL Instant Messenger so that when the dating apps appeared, and I don't know if you felt like this because you were like a socially anxious person, I was like, this is my time to shine. My witty banter is out to play with these apps. Did you feel that way as well?
Somewhat. But also there was this other thing at play for me being a gay guy that like depending on where you grew up and like, so I'm in my late 30s now. So maybe it's a little bit different perhaps for the younger generations, but we didn't, or at least I didn't get that experience dating through high school. I really wasn't getting into college. And so I didn't really have a lot of dating experience coming into the apps and just what that looked like making kind of those, yeah, connections through messaging. And now it's really become my jam. Like I love talking and I love messaging and texting to me is so much fun. It's just you can really explore your creativity, I feel like, through messaging in many ways.
Yeah. And then you also say that like you help boy crazy singles and that resonated for me. And I think that whenever I talk to anyone on this podcast, like I almost think that you got into the dating field if you were boy crazy. And I definitely was. Were you as well?
Oh my gosh, yes. Still am. Boys are so cute. Why do they have to be so cute? I just love their energy and I could just kind of look at them and talk to them and think about them. But I've also talked about Delulu in some of my content as well and using it to our advantages in many ways, but also dialing it back a little bit when it just gets a little bit too, maybe too much fantasy.
Tell me more about that, because I love Delulu, and I, for someone who doesn't know Delulu, maybe we can like define what it means. What does Delulu mean to you?
You know, shorthand slang for delusion, which is, I think we can use to our advantage. You know, like you've probably seen just scrolling through social media, topics about limerence has been coming up a lot. I see a lot of videos and posts around limerence. It's very similar to kind of being in that dream state, a little bit of a fantasy up in your mind, like in your, you know, just really going there. It's where you go on that first date kind of thing, or even you're not even there, you make a match and all of a sudden you're planning your wedding. You're like, yeah. Oh my God, how many kids are we going to have kind of thing? Do we even want kids? Do we want a family? I'm not sure. Where's our honeymoon? Okay, let's figure out, do we even like this person first? Let's just figure out, can they even hold a conversation? How do we feel around them? And so I think it can be fun to let your mind go into a little bit of escapism from time to time, because I need that. I need a little bit of dream and fantasy when I'm dating, but I don't want it to have us mean we completely leave reality, right? So being in that space of Delulu a little bit, I think it can help you tap into your creativity and just loosen you up a little bit, but not going into like full Delulu.
Totally. I almost think sometimes like me stepping into the more Delulu version of myself makes me a better person to date, because I think that I can get caught up in, probably for anyone who has like dating exhaustion, you can get caught up in all men are assholes, you know, oh my God, no one's great. Ew, everyone's disgusting. I hate everyone. But the Delulu version of myself is like, oh my God, like Julia Thomas is the most beautiful name ever. This is totally what it's going to be. And it's kind of cutesy, and it makes you a better dater.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm glad you said that, because it helps you manage your icks, so to speak. And so something, maybe we'll get into it today, but it's kind of like, what are those icks, those things you just find annoying versus like, what are your actual deal breakers, your non-negotiables, and not letting those icks necessarily disqualify someone that could be quite honestly a great match or a connection to at least explore. And so yeah, being in the Delulu a little bit can be like, okay, well, maybe I find that actually tolerable.
Do you have an ick that's been top of mind for you?
It's like when someone just tries and dominates the conversation, right? Like it's like when like they're not asking you questions about yourself, or they'll turn it right back onto themselves. It's like that person that is just so keen to be okay talking about themselves, which is, in the past, I've been so okay to hold that space. And wow, this is really allowing us to get closer and they really trust me. Well, or do they just like to talk about themselves? Like, it's very important that they also get to know me and ask me questions as well. That's the only way you're going to take that connection a little bit deeper. So that's the ick today that's coming to mind. And kind of more of a truer ick, it's when people spit. Yeah. When guys, like, I saw this the other day. I play kickball on Sundays, and there was this new guy, and I was like, okay, haven't seen him before.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then I look over and he does like just loogies it all out. And I was instantly,
gross.
Instantly ick, turned off, zero interest. That is an ick for me. I don't do spitting.
Gross. I love that you're playing kickball. Are you kind of doing that to meet new people? Like people ask me all the time on this podcast, how do I meet people? Are you partaking in like adult hobbies to meet people? How did that kind of come about for you?
Yes, I initially got started. This is Stonewall Sports. It's a queer sports league, which is all over the country. So I believe there's a chapter in Austin as well. Yeah, they're so widespread. And yeah, I initially started playing with them when I was living in Norfolk, Virginia, as a way to meet people and make friends. And what happens when you're in those spaces is they can be nerve-wracking at first, especially if you're new, or maybe you're going in there, you don't really know anyone, or you sort of recognize a person or two. But over time, and this is one thing I like about doing something consistently, like kickball, where you're playing a season for a couple months, is you start to become more comfortable. You start to get more familiar with faces and names. And so over time, it's like if you do something one time, you can feel so much pressure to maybe get out there and like, you know, trade numbers or make that point of contact or something like that. But being in a kickball league where you're meeting every week for a couple months, work yourself into it. By that second, third, fourth week, it's okay, great play kind of thing. Hey, you're going to the social. How was your game today? And you can talk about what you already have in common, which is kickball, and then work the conversation from there. So I think doing more things in person, whether it's a sports league or finding something on social media, Eventbrite, Meetup, right? I recently did this event called Skip the Small Talk, which got me through a Facebook ad of all things. And it was like a speed friending event. That was just last week. And it was incredible. So just being open and saying yes to those opportunities when you see them.
I think that that leads me into the topic that I really want to talk to you about, because it's March. We're recording at the end of March. And I feel like Memorial Day is when kind of summer kicks off in my mind. I know that it's not in the calendar, but I've been feeling as the weather has been getting warmer, I'm like, we are on the precipice of summer. And I think that so many people are burnt out on dating apps right now. We are just exhausted by it. And when I think about like the last time I was connecting, not just on the dating apps, I think about like 2016. For me, I think about like Drake's One Dance. I don't know if like you remember this, like being top of the charts. Yeah.
Yes.
That is the time where I'm like, that was the best time ever.
Summer 2016. That was, yeah.
Summer 2016. Yeah. And I am wanting everyone to tap into this. You've been talking about this on your social media page as your yes era. It sounds like this is what you're doing right now, where you're saying yes to a lot of things. And for someone who is listening to this and wants to tap into their yes era, like how do we all collectively get into our yes era? Because you and I can agree that we want it to be summer 2016, but if not everyone follows suit, we're not all going to be on the same page doing this, you know?
So one thing, it's yes, to be in your yes era is more than just finding those things in real life, those events, those meetups, those socials that you find interesting, getting yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit and just saying yes to those opportunities. It's also being with yourself, and it's about the connection you have with yourself. And so something what I would do, something that I have done, what I'm working on in my yes era is, so that Skip the Small Talk event I went to last week, my mindset wasn't going into, oh, well, like, I'm not going to meet anyone interesting, or no one's going to like me, or I'm not going to have any fun. No one's going to be there. I'm just going to be awkward. I won't know what to say, right? You're talking yourself out of even being present and enjoying it before you get there. And if you start having those thoughts, then it's going to become very easy to be like, you know what? Next time, you know, not for me. I'll look for the next thing. You know, I'm not really not feeling this kind of thing. So it's like one of my real motto is with flirting is to get out of your head and into the flirt, get out of your head and into your heart, get out of your head, stop overthinking, and just feel your way through these situations and these scenarios. And know that if you go to something like a Skip the Small Talk or you join a sports league, yeah, there's going to be some nerves. There's going to be some anxiety. It's something new and you may not know anyone, but if you can focus on just making one connection, talking to one person. And that was my goal with last week. I was like, all right, I'm going to talk to three people, have three conversations, and that's it. That's it. To me, that is going to be even putting myself in that space and then just talking to three people, success.
So you quantify it in that way. So before you go to these events, you're like, it's going to be three people, because I like that. I also think that it could add the pressure. I did this recently. I made a video on TikTok because I'm like, this is going to hold me accountable so that I don't let, you know, my followers down. And I said, I'm going to go to a restaurant, sit by myself, and I'm going to talk to someone. But I'm at this restaurant. I'm like, who's it going to be? Like, I don't know who it's going to be. And I had it in my mind that it was going to be someone, and he got up. But then it eventually happened. How does someone remove the pressure, release the pressure? Like, how do you get into your body? Maybe we can tactically say, like, okay, you went to this speed dating event. You want to talk to three people. Walk me through it. How do you do it? What do you say? How do you initiate? Like, what do you look for? It's like, tactically walk me through it.
Sure. So a couple of things that can help are going ahead and thinking about those things that may bring you some anxiety and going ahead and having a plan for those. So like going to this event, how am I going to get there? I'm going to wear something comfortable. Where am I going to park, right? I'm going to get there just a little bit early. So go ahead and take the pressure off just some of the logistics of it. And then when you're in the moment, release all expectations. You know, having a goal, even if it's one person, can be fantastic. It gives you something to focus on. And then it's about releasing all attachment to expectations, taking all the pressure off of yourself so you can fully just be in the moment. And it's just all about making that connection, right? You're not trying to get something from someone else. You're not trying to engineer the conversation to get a phone number, to trade socials, or to express attraction, or to get a date, or something like that. No, we're just totally in the moment, being like, hey, this is me. The flirt is about an authentic expression of the self, showing expression and interest in someone else, however that interest may look, something about the quality of their energy, something you find interesting, something you want to ask them, something you're curious about. Are they reading something? Could be anything. And then just starting from there. You don't know what's going to happen in the context of that conversation, that connection in 5 or 10 minutes. Just work your way in. Just work your way in, one sentence at a time, one question at a time.
I like that a lot. I think that what it creates, and I think that this is something that is top of mind for me, is I think that it expands your world when you have these conversations. You know, there are so many people who, when it comes to dating, say, I can't meet anyone. Well, you don't have to meet someone romantic. You can meet a few different people, have a few different conversations, expand your network, and then that person remembers that they met you at a speed dating friend event. I was actually at a wedding. I was like on the dance floor at a wedding in Mexico City. There was a hairstylist who was there from LA. And I was like, oh my God, I have this friend who lives in LA. You guys could totally hit it off. You know, you just don't know until you can connect with people how much your world can expand. And I think that there is an element of when you are dating, you make your world really small with the dating apps. And I wonder what your opinions are on dating apps today.
It's tough. It's no secret. Like, you probably hear this and I hear this too, that something has happened with the dating apps in maybe the last 6 months to a year or something, where it's just the quality of conversation is not the same. The ability to make a match and transition that into an in-person date seems like there's so many hurdles nowadays. And I can't pinpoint one specific reason other than, like, it's something I've talked about in many ways, that dating has lost its humanness, where you're not just a profile, you're not just a picture, you're not just a bio. Like, there's two people on the other end of this conversation. And when all you can do is perhaps lay in bed or on the couch and swipe, right, make a match, that's just the start. The dating apps have many ways, it's dating has lost its humanness in some ways. And so one thing that can help is just having dating apps be a part of an overall strategy, because I'll oftentimes hear, well, Benjamin, like, I have to be on the apps because of my work schedule, right? I work second or third shift, or I live in a small town, a rural place. There's just not a lot of matches for me. I'm a single parent. This is the time I have available to meet people. It could be even perhaps for safety reasons, where there's a little bit of anonymity involved. You're showing your picture, yes, but you're not putting yourself in a physical location just yet. So I think dating apps will continue to play a role and be very important in dating, but have them be overall a part of a strategy where you're not solely relying on the dating apps as your only way of meeting people to go on dates with. That's when it can feel very confining, and you can put so much pressure on yourself to go all in on these conversations. To balance that out, I've talked about that your next great love, the next person you date, your next relationship, right? They're looking for you too, but they're out, they're living their everyday life. They're running their errands. They're going to the gym. They're going for a walk. They're going grocery shopping. They're all around you. The people we're going to be able to date and find and make connections with, they're everywhere. And so just part of being in your yes era, being open to that, perhaps flirting a little bit, making those connections, knowing that it doesn't have to go into the realm of, like, I think you're hot right away, right? That's not what we're doing. Just working yourself into a conversation. Is there something that caught your eye about somebody, right? Starting a conversation.
I'm sure always people ask you this, and I know that there probably isn't one standard answer or template, but how does someone initiate conversation? Like, what is, like, the best, easiest opening?
A great place to start is with something you can observe. and then opening that up with a little bit of storytelling. So something like you're at the grocery store, you notice like what someone has in their cart. Maybe they have some very interesting things like, oh my God, what are you making for dinner tonight? Or, oh, like I picked up this same thing. And so just starting it based on where you are, your location, where you're meeting, something you can observe about where you're at, your surroundings, something about their style even. Do they have a sports logo, an emblem of some kind, a symbol maybe, that you're really curious about? Are they wearing a t-shirt from a concert or a band that you also really like? So looking for those points of connection where you're like, oh, wow, we already have this thing in common. Let's talk about that. And then opening it up into a little bit of storytelling, which is telling about yourself. Oh my gosh, I saw that band last year. It was so cool. What did you think about it? And just working yourself into the conversation from there.
There is something about meeting someone in the wild. And like, let's say that works out and you go on a date, like you romanticize that date so much more than someone you met on the apps, because it's like you worked for it. You're like, oh my God, I said, like, what are you wearing a North Carolina jersey for? Yeah.
Yeah. And they're a real person. Like you were able to sense their energy and how you feel around them. And so it's, in many ways, can take a lot of the pressure off of even a first date if that's where a flirt goes.
Yeah. I'm curious. A lot of my girlfriends and I talk about this. We talk about like, we're not going to meet the like good guy at the bars on the weekends. The good guy's not there. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. He's not at the club at 2 a.m. on a Saturday, right? He's not at the bar. He's probably in bed because he's getting up the next morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I completely agree.
Okay. So then where are the good guys? I mean, you and I haven't found them yet. Where are the good girls, guys?
Yeah. All the he's, she's, yeah. They's. They yes. are. So it's about finding, I think one thing that can help is being in your yes era, saying yes to those things, getting on different platforms. I mean, Eventbrite, Meetup are ones I mention a lot, Facebook groups. There's a couple other social type platforms that really connect you with people. Social media can be a great place. A lot of towns and cities have sort of a social Instagram of sorts where they post about different events. But think about something that you would like to do. If it's something like a farmer's market or hiking, or you want to try rock climbing or something like that. And so then go ahead and narrow down your search and then get on a search engine or social media and see if there is a local group dedicated to board games. Like that's one I see all the time. If you're a gamer, video games, board games, cards, doesn't matter. There's a lot of local gaming groups. And so put yourself in those situations, say yes to the opportunities and see who's there. See who's there. Now, ultimately, you can't control who's there, but you can at least give yourself the opportunity to make a new connection.
If I'm at a man at the farmer's market, I feel like my life would be made. Like that is my dream.
Same. Yeah. Such a meet cute moment, right? Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
We're both meeting at like the bread tin or something. I don't know.
Yeah. We're both getting ourselves flowers because Miley Cyrus said that you need to buy yourself flowers. I love exactly. that. Do you have a goal in mind per week, or should it not be that templatized?
Not for me personally. I think it can depend. Like if I'm working with someone and that is helpful for them, they'd like to have a goal of going on maybe one date a week or something like that. Sure. Then I want us to have a plan around that. But for me, yeah, that's not something that I'm going to do just for me personally. It's more so I'm going to be living my life. Who am I meeting? Right. Who's at kickball this week? We're going to the social. We're saying yes to things, stuff like that.
Can people in relationships flirt? Should people in relationships flirt? Because I feel like it's not like you died and never wanted to flirt again,
right?
You know?
Yeah, that can be a tricky question sometimes. I mean, I definitely think within the context of a relationship, you should absolutely continue to flirt with one another, whether you're monogamous, you're exclusive, sort of whatever, how you have defined the relationship. The flirt is what is going to keep it alive. Before you even get to a first date, you got to flirt first. That's what I say. It always starts with the flirt. And how I like to think about the flirt, it's not just about the connection. It's about being in the present moment. And it's about building anticipation and momentum. There's an energy. There's an excitement to the flirt. There's sometimes a spontaneity. So I definitely want to see that continuing in relationships. And then can you flirt with people outside the relationship? I mean, I think it's reasonable that you're going to have friends of the opposite sex or the same sex, depending right on how you identify. Mm-hmm. But then being mindful of boundaries and always respecting your partner. Like if your partner feels like you're overstepping, and certainly if you're taking the flirt into more of a physical flirt, and you're exclusive, you're monogamous, well, we've got a problem there. But totally. I certainly want to see you continuing to make friends outside of your relationship, right? And using some of the elements of the flirt, having it being more about the connection, making those platonic connections, I think can still be fantastic.
Yeah. What are you thinking about ethical non-monogamy? It's something that's kind of come up in conversation for me often. And even on the dating apps, like, people are ethically non-monogamous. I don't know that I'm willing to venture into that territory yet, but I'm curious what your thoughts are about it.
It's interesting. I see it really seems like it's become a trend that's sort of exponentially, right? I'm seeing just more and more and more, not just on social media, but on calls and on podcasts. It's just becoming more and more a topic of conversation. And especially in the queer world, especially for gay men, it is like, quite honestly, one of the reasons I'm single is finding someone that wants monogamy. I know that's what I desire for myself. I'm a monogamous type of guy. And that's what I'm looking for, right? A non-negotiable kind of thing for me. But it can be difficult. And so what I find is it can be really helpful to have a conversation about it. But to be ethically non-monogamous doesn't exclude commitment. It doesn't, right, get you around communication. If anything, communication is going to be even more important. So I want people that are open to exploring that, just having some of the nuances in their mind, where sometimes I'll hear, well, you know, I'm just so burnt out, I'll never find anybody, so I'm just not going to commit to anyone. Well, no, if you're ethically non-monogamous, you still have a core relationship. You're still in a committed relationship. You don't get to subvert commitment. That argument I'm not buying. Or, you know, it's just like, yeah, like, I'll never find anyone kind of thing, burnt out on dating, just don't want to commit. You don't get to be ethically non-monogamous and avoid all of that at the same time. It can be a viable relationship for you. Is that what you want, though? Let's explore it.
My theory is that it's stemming from, like, the paradox of choice. And people in committed monogamous relationships fearing that there might be something better around the corner, also at the root of, like, why so many of us are having trouble settling down in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you there completely. I think so too. Kind of like the grass is greener on the other side sort of mentality.
I sometimes have fears that this is why dating is so difficult for millennials. Is that we have become accustomed to dating with dating apps, and there really is this paradox of choice. And there is this, I almost feel like we're overstimulated with, like, the choices and people. And that's why, to your point in the beginning of, like, why we've lost the humanity in dating, is because people are just becoming pictures and we're not connecting in this certain way. And I think that's at the root of, like, why so many of us are having trouble. What do you think it is? What's your opinion of why millennials are having such a hard time dating?
Part of it is just this burnout, kind of in all aspects of life. Like, I feel like we're very much that generation that played by the rules and did what we were told to do. And what did we get? Now we're finding that, hold up, like, playing by the rules didn't necessarily engineer the lifestyle that we thought we were going to have, or that we were told we were going to have. And so we're dealing, it seems like there's just in this onslaught of just obstacles and hurdles coming at us from all directions. And then coming into dating, really, in the age of dating apps as well, and online dating, growing up with the internet, right? Seeing the evolution of, remember those AOL chat rooms? Like, that's where we started, AOL Instant Messenger. And now it's just at our fingertips, and so many of us have smartphones. It's just, I think it's so many different things as we're at the stage of our life where we're sort of just exploring, like, what makes us happy? What do we want? What does that look like for us? And that can put relationships in the spotlight and being like, whew, I don't know.
Yeah. Another worry of mine, and I go back and forth, like, I vacillate between it being a worry and me being like, fuck that, that's not a worry of mine, is we are looking for something that does not exist, and that we are a little too picky, and we are looking for someone to essentially make ourselves whole, and that person is not going to be everything to us. How does one figure out if they're too picky? Do you think that millennials or people dating right now are too picky? How do we correct for this problem?
Yeah, it's kind of being like kind of the Disney era, right? Like growing up where there was a new Disney movie every summer. Like, oh, I remember like it was The Little Mermaid, then Aladdin, just like the ultimate love story, just like picture perfect story tale. There was the whole hero's journey, right, in the movie, and they always came out on top. I find, like, I think it's interesting. So many of the generations are picky, but for different reasons. Like, I see pickiness really coming in, kind of being this blend of icks and non-negotiables and deal breakers, and really starting to exclude everyone. But to your point, it's like, it's no one person is ever going to complete you. Like, no one person is ever going to give you that ultimate satisfaction or like sort of happiness that you're looking for. And ultimately, when you give someone that much power over your well-being, like, oh my gosh, that's when it can become really, really problematic, because that's so much responsibility for a person to be responsible for your happiness. That's a lot.
Yeah. You've posted some content around getting like dematized, like dickmatized.
Yes.
Sometimes you give that person a lot of power. How do you not give that person power too?
You know, the hot guy, right? The guy that you're stigmatized by. Ultimately, he is just a dude. He is just a dude. We have got to take him off the pedestal, right? None of that ultimately matters. I mean, in the context of a relationship, chemistry, physical attraction is going to be important. But if you're looking to truly date, if you're looking to find that type of soul connection, that type of intimacy, that is actually going to hinder you. It's going to prevent you. Like, you've got the rose-colored glasses on. And then underlying, like, I know there's all these physiological effects going on with neurotransmitters and chemicals and hormones and all that good stuff. So you're really bonding to this person through physical intimacy. But taking a step back, is this person really going to show up for me the way I deserve to be shown up for? Or is this purely physical? So it comes back so much to that point of self-love and knowing that you deserve, need, and want more. You cannot build a relationship solely off of physical intimacy. It's going to be ultimately unfulfilling at the end of the day, every single time.
So it sounds like people need to be prioritizing the relationship they have with themselves in order to avoid getting stigmatized. How do you recommend that people do that?
Taking a little bit of a step back, doing some self-assessment, and then just really, you know, it could be you're at a stage of your life where you are casually dating, and the guy that is that you're dematized by is like really serving a purpose, because you're out there playing, like having fun with other people as well, going on dates. So, you know what, get yours. Like, maybe the casual dating is really serving you well. So it's not about saying that's the ultimate red flag or that it's completely wrong. But if that is what is preventing you from making other connections, what is preventing you from going on dates with people that will choose you, that will ask you out, that will take you out, that will check in on you after a date, that will text you back, that will communicate consistently, right? Ultimately, if that's what you're looking for, the guy that you're hooking up with, you're always going to be in this state of kind of a little bit of internal chaos, of dysregulation, because you're not going to get from that guy what you're looking for.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to say no, but yeah.
Yeah. You need to get the ick bite from his like disinterest or whatever. Because it's so crazy. You can be dating three people, you know, at the same time, and that guy, or like whatever, you maybe two guys and sleeping with that one guy. And if that one guy appears once a week and wants to hang out with you, you will drop anything and everything for that guy.
Yeah. I know, but it, like, if you're in your mind thinking, oh, well, you know, it's the best I've ever had, or I'll never find it again. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Because just think about, if you're able to have that kind of physical intimacy with somebody that you also have that emotional, energetic intimacy with, I mean, it's going to be 100 times better.
Yeah. Do you think that the latter has to grow? Like, I think that's the problem, where it's like, you get so excited about the guy who's love bombing you right away, but the one where the chemistry is growing is like a slower burn.
This has been kind of a central debate in dating a little bit. I've seen for a while now, kind of like that spark versus no spark kind of thing. And then the slow burn versus, right, something that starts off more love bombing. Ultimately, I like to think about it in terms of sort of like time correlating to the connection. And so just because you're hanging out, say you've been talking to someone for a month and you hang out every single day, right? You're both just kind of love bombing each other. Well, you've only been hanging out for a month. You're not going to see how this person reacts in times of stress and how they deal with conflict and what they do maybe when they get sad and something comes up. You're not going to see them throughout the highs and lows of just normal day-to-day life. You still have only seen the version of them that they presented themselves for a month. So having more of a slow burn, you're just going to get to know them, a more well-rounded version of them, really get to see who they are over time, and you're going to get a better picture of who they are. So that's a lot of what I think the slow burn ultimately reveals. And it gives you time as well to be like, how do I feel about this person? So you're not just locked into this kind of love bombing connection where you're both just texting all day, every day, and like hanging out constantly. And it's not sustainable, right? No one can keep that up.
Yeah. When we were talking about your icks, one of mine, I want to record a video about this. Like, one of mine is when a straight male is like one of the first to view my stories, I'm like, why aren't you like in the woods, like hunting and gathering? Like, why are you on Instagram looking at my thirst trap? I need you.
Where's your axe? Don't you have some firewood to chop or like something? I don't know, some mushrooms to forage. Get outside. Yeah.
Why are you holding your phone?
Gross. I'm so grossed out as well.
Yeah, totally. Do you think that it's easier to be single in the summer? Do you think that like everyone can feel at ease going into the summer single?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the warmer weather is definitely all about flirt season. I think it really lends itself to flirting as people are now, you're just outside more. There's more events. There's more things to do, right? You're in your summer clothes. Like the flirt kind of ebbs and flows throughout the season or throughout the year where, right, you have cuffing season and then you kind of have this Valentine season where like I just want a Valentine. And now we're getting into spring, summer. So this is like open air flirting. This is like flirting in the sun, which is totally different.
A friend of mine told me that last summer she created like a summer bucket list that I think that I'm going to adopt. I think that that is a nice little method of, and maybe adding in these flirting things of like for me, for example, living in Austin, there's the lake and like everyone wants to find a guy with a boat on the lake. And I'm like, find a guy with a boat on the lake.
Bucket list, right?
Totally. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, what else is on your bucket list? That could be really helpful.
Yeah, I haven't like created it yet, but I definitely want, this is more like of a manifestation, but like I want like a brand to send me to a different city and I want to like date in different cities. Like I just came from Mexico City and I was like flirting with people. I met a guy, like vacation self is like the best self. And I almost like, why is that? Like I want everyone to tap into their vacation selves in their day to day when they're home. Do you know what I mean? Like, how do they do that?
Totally. Totally. I think it's because there's an element that, you know, you can be totally in the moment. You can be totally present with it because the likelihood that this is now someone you're going to date long distance, probably not. I mean, probably not, maybe, but probably not. And so you can be just totally with it. There's no expectations, no pressure. You're in the moment. And yeah, I would love for people to bring more of that into your everyday flirts when you're at home.
Is there something that people can say? Because I have a lot of millennial single women who listen to this podcast. Is there something that you suggest they say when people are like, why are you still single? Oh, you're just going to flirt this summer? Like, what is something that people can say to remove this shame and the stigma of being single?
Yeah, because there should be no shame or stigma around it at all. I mean, you can turn the question right back on them, be like, why are you single kind of thing? You know, like just be like, okay, like, why are you asking me this so aggressively? Because it's usually kind of with this air of condescension sometimes, or kind of this curiosity where they're trying to figure out, is this person available, right? Are they truly single kind of thing? And just owning it. So I might say something like, you know what? Like, I've been really focusing on myself and my career and just really enjoying getting to know myself. And I'm open to exploring connections, you know, as I'm out living my life kind of thing, but I'm not, you know, living my life to date. You know, I'm okay being single.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. I'm okay being single. I also, it's like, why'd you marry Bob?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't want your relationship.
Totally. I would never want to be with Bob. Mm-mm.
Bob's a mess.
Benjamin, it was such a pleasure to have you on. I feel very rooted in feeling flirty and single this summer. I hope everyone gets the same takeaways. Tell everyone where they can find you and follow you on social media.
Yeah, that went so fast. This was so much fun. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the pod. This was really, really wonderful. I'm glad we were able to catch up and connect like this. At Benjamin Camris on Instagram and TikTok. Would love to see you over on either of those platforms. Yeah, doing the thing on the feed, posting the stories, going live. Flirt Friday is my big thing. So check in on that. Ask me questions. I go live on Instagram on Fridays. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad we connected. I hope everyone follows you and I hope you come back.
Will do. This was amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Pretty Much Done. If you want more information about this episode, you can check our show notes. Go like, subscribe, and leave a review because it helps us grow the pod. Love you. Thank you. Sorry, did I just love bomb you? I'm not toxic. You are. Okay, bye.